I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. I'm Mel.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Janet.
Social media. Whether we like it or not, it is a prevalent thing in our lives. Before there's Instagram, there are other social media platforms we use to communicate with one another. As the digital age continues to grow, there's going to be new and upcoming platforms that we're going to use to communicate. So how do we navigate this incoming growth of social channels?
Today, we wanted to kind of do a little journey walkthrough of starting from maybe like the early 90s, 2000, no, 2000s, probably
yes.
Around 2000s.
Mel, when were you born?
I was born in the early 90s, Danny.
Okay. So starting from around the 90s, for basically as long as Mel's been alive, there's been an influx of, there's just so many different types of platforms. And from what we've seen, it's only going to get probably more numerous and it's here to stay, right? So Let's talk about the different platforms we've used throughout the years, maybe some pros and some cons has been really prevalent in media nowadays. A lot of people talk about the negative effects of social media, but there are also a lot of positive effects. And then just generally, like, how are different ways that we can use to cope and maybe use it in a positive way?
Mm-hmm. So I think what's kind of crazy is that since we've been alive, I think our generation was the first generation to actually start using social media on a more grand scale, right? Because like internet age didn't pick up until 60s, 70s, and then literally social media started spreading with was MySpace. I don't remember what the first one was. I think there was another more.
Friendster, I think.
I think even before that. I mean, there were probably other social platforms that were smaller. But yeah, Friendster, MySpace, those were the biggest ones. Zanga was big, right?
All those
AsianAvenue.com. Y'all use that?
Nope.
I remember hearing about it. The best. But yeah, what's crazy is that we've been through all of these different stages. And there are 90s, 2000s kids now that don't even know. That's like ancient to them.
Yeah.
They grew up in the digital space.
And it's crazy because when it first started, it was like you were tied to your giant desktop computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
then oh my God.
The dial-up internet.
Dial-up internet. And you're with your family, it's like everyone in the house had only access to this one. So you had to like take turns. And then nowadays, it's like everyone has their own phone. You have access 24/7, high speed all the time.
Yep. You know what's funny? Like when Tyler, my sister's son, my nephew, whenever they play YouTube like music for them, for him, and there's an ad that comes on, he knows that it's an ad. And he pulls your hand and tells you to stop the ad.
Really?
So he can actually listen to his like song. I feel like there's actually a lot of different studies about how these types of videos for kids are so bad because it's an actual addictive thing. They're like addicted to the music and the song. Which I don't know if that's a bad thing or not, because it's like they're channeling their inner like eardrum or whatever. but it's kind of crazy that they know that there's like a swipe for this ad.
Yeah.
And they've just like been born into this generation of social media or, you know, online video content.
So why don't we take it back and talk about like our first encounters.
What was the first thing that you were on that you remember?
For me, it was definitely AIM. Like the chat, like that's when we used to chat.
Yeah.
I remember distinctly the sound it made when someone signed on and when someone
the door closed.
And then you'd always be able to change your description box about like what you're feeling or like.
Do you remember what your profile said?
Probably something very vague about some guy liked or like some stupid quote, you know?
Yeah. I think I always had a bunny in mind. Somehow.
Really?
You know how like you can do like the ears and the face and then the body on the bottom? I think I always had a bunny.
I always had, I think, stars and designs of things.
Right. I never knew how people got all that text for like the really cool looking story design.
Yeah.
What was your first screen name? for AIM.
So my godbrother, who is, I think, about like 6 or 7 years older than me, he made my first one. And so he just gave it to me. It was Sweet X Dreamer, as it's spelled, 151. Like Bacardi.
Wait, is that from Bacardi?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So that was my very first one. I was so young. I'm like, in hindsight, I'm just like, why did you give me that?
Yeah. Wait, so you only have one screen name in your
time? I had that one. And then the one I made up myself was BBX Dreams. But the dreams is DR3AMZ.
Oh my gosh.
So cool.
Dude.
What was yours? Mel Mel?
Oh my, okay, so I had two that I remember. So back in the day, I think I started going on AIM when I was like, I think in middle school.
Damn,
and
so young.
I know, I was really young. Middle school and definitely, middle school. Because I remember I had this crush on this guy from my like community service thing on the weekends that he'll talk online. And my screen name was Toro's Melody. Okay, so back in the day, middle school, I was a huge like Taiwanese like boy band, like fangirl. So there was this like Taiwanese band called Energy, and they had a boy, like the member who's a dancer was named Toro. That was like his stage name.
T-O-R-O.
And okay. That was his melody, like played off my name. So Toro's Melody. I know, it sounds really lame that I say it out loud.
Wait, I don't get it. Toro's.
Oh, like, Toro's. Like, if, like, it was like Justin Timberlake, like Justin's Helen.
No, don't know.
Toro's Melody.
For me, it's Melody because like my name's music. Yeah. So I was like his Melody because he was an artist.
I didn't get it. I didn't get it either.
I was so lame. But yeah, so that was my first screen name. My second one that I distinctly remember creating was I was sitting in my desktop in my house and I was like, I want a new screen name. What should I call? What should I call it? I knew I liked the word twinkle. Mm. The word twinkle sounded really nice. And I was looking around my house for like, okay, twinkle's taken. What can I do to add something to it? I found a box of Pop-Tarts. I was like, oh, Twinkle Tarts 22. So that was my...
Oh, that's cute.
Kind of. Yeah. Twinkle Tarts. So Twinkle Tarts was my second one.
Aww.
How about Janet?
That's cute. Mine was really boring. It was just...
Janet Wang.
Janet is always taken because it's like a common. So I had Jans, J-A-N-S, 841.
What's 841?
I don't really know. I like the number 8. And then maybe I was just like, 4 is like half of 8 and then 1 is... No, I don't know. just go into sending
your drunk child. Couldn't do math.
It was. I don't know. It was like kind of a boring, basic name.
Uh-huh. Was that the only one that you had?
I think that was the only one. Yeah, it's the only one I remember using.
I remember back when I was younger, I thought the cool screen names were like Helen Says, like that, like says, because when you're typing, it says like you're like typing what you're saying. So I was like, wow, that girl's so cool. Her screen name says like
who? Yeah, what screen name did you think was the coolest?
Like, yeah, Helen, like
Helen Says,
Janet Says, or like something, and they put like Says with a Z and like XX or some shit like that.
Mm.
But I just thought it was like really smart. But that was back then.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you guys remember the nostalgic feeling of like when your crush signed on and you're talking to him and like waiting for his like
looking for the door open and you're like,
oh my God, you're in the same space as me.
And then you would wait to see if he would message you first.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then you hear like, da-da-da, and you're like, oh my God, he messaged me.
And then if the door closes, it's just like, oh, my heart.
Like, I felt like my heart was closing too.
Dang.
I kind of miss those feelings of like, oh, that like excitement, you know?
Did you guys ever go into random group chats? Chat rooms.
I think
like public chat rooms on AIM. It was a thing.
Yeah,
I
remember going into chat rooms, so I don't really have a specific memory. Nothing was like memorable that stuck with me.
I think I might have gotten my first dick pic.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Baby Helen.
I know. Baby Helen. I was probably like, I don't know, 13, 14.
Ew.
Yeah. No, I didn't know what it was when I saw it. I was like, huh? What part of the body is this?
Ew.
And then when I realized, I was like, well, ew.
That's disgusting.
And I got freaked out. I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually very, like, weird, dangerous.
Did you block him? Well, you could block people around.
Yeah. But then I used to go into those rooms just to, like, see how the world interacted outside of, like, school and outside of TV. It's, like, real people, right? Like, what do real people talk about?
Yeah.
And real people are raunchy as fuck.
I also remember, like, during the time of AIM, I was also very active on Zanga.
I was really into Zanga, too.
Cool. Do you guys remember your Zanga names? I feel like username was a big thing back in the day, you know?
Yeah. I think it was the same for me. BBX Dreams.
Mine was random as super random.
What is it?
Wait, Zanga, I treated as a blog. Was yeah. that? Yeah, it was yeah. a blog. So mine was Moose on a Stick, and I don't remember why I...
Fuck.
I think I was just trying to be random.
Well, you accomplished that.
Yeah.
Like, stabbing a moose on a stick?
How did you come up with that name?
I used to, when I was younger, I would just say random shit, and then, like, with my friends, we would joke around and just say stupid stuff. It wasn't meant to be violent. It was, I think it was, like hot dog on a stick, but moose on a stick. I don't really know why.
That's kind of funny.
I kind of came up
and
with
now you're a vegetarian.
Yeah.
That's true, huh?
But I still have a visual memory of the color scheme. It was like a not quite charcoal gray. It was like a light gray mm-hmm. background, and I was really into aqua blue. Oh. So aqua blue, but it was almost more of like a seafoam green, aqua bluish, like that lighter blue green.
Uh-huh.
And that was the text. So the background was like a kind of softer gray, and then the text was more like aqua bluish green.
Interesting. Yeah. I remember my Zanga page. It was kind of, because there was so much, like, every time you did something, it would have to stay and live on your page, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you could play music on it. It's like, oh, what one song do I pick?
Uh-huh.
And I always wanted mine to be, like, super cutesy. I wanted the freaking, like, the pink flowers to be, like, falling off from the top of the screen to the bottom, collecting on the bottom. Like,
yeah.
I wanted that look and that vibe, but I couldn't figure out how to freaking do the HTML for the mm-hmm. flowers, and I was so pissed, so it was just like kind of blank.
I don't remember. I think my last one was like really girly, because I think I had two Zynga accounts, and I finally switched a username, and it was like just like this bunny on this red background. I'm trying to remember what the fuck I even wrote about on my Zynga.
Yeah,
like,
I don't remember. Because that wasn't a place for you to like message people. It was literally just for you to
the blog.
Yeah.
It's like Tumblr back in the day, right?
Yeah. I think I do remember, because I was using it more in college, and I was using it almost like a journal, but I knew it was a public thing, so I would just kind of talk about like classes I was taking or things I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I took a trip to, it was my first time going to Asia with my family during that time, so then I used it almost like as a way to like upload some basic photos and like talk about the places we visited.
Wow,
that's true. I think I may have done that.
I think I might have just done, you know, those cartoon characters of like Asian well, like the Big Bang, like the bangs, and they look super cool, like baggy jingo pants and all that. Yeah, I used to post that while you posted nice family photos. Family vacation photos. You know what I'm talking about, Mel?
No, I don't.
Oh my gosh, dude, this was like the thing. Hold on,
I'm like trying to figure out what you're saying. Like, what?
You know what I'm talking about?
Right? I
feel like it was a little older.
Zanga was big for me when I was in like my tail end of middle school, like maybe beginning of high school. So it wasn't like, you guys are in college.
Yeah, I was in college. Yeah.
So it was kind of different for my generation.
Did you guys leave comments on each other's?
Yeah, we did comments.
Okay. One of the guys I ended up dating in college, that's how we kind of developed our relationship a little bit more, because over the summer we were not on campus, so the way that we would communicate, because we didn't like call each other or do anything like that, it was through like messaging and commenting on each other's like Zanga posts.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
When did MySpace start happening in your life? Because MySpace was a pretty big deal back in the day.
I don't actually think I used MySpace. What? Like, I think I remember Tom being my friend, right?
It was like Facebook. Tom's everyone's friend.
Yeah. But I don't think I actually used that. It's so crazy to think back, like, that could have been a big part of my life, but I just totally don't remember anymore.
I had a profile. I do remember I used it a lot to follow, like, people who danced, because I was on, like, hip-hop teams in college, and it was, like, the one platform where they would post a lot of their, I don't know if they were pictures or videos or things like that, but I didn't really use it to socialize.
I forgot there was pages on MySpace like there was on Facebook, because I always remember the friends on MySpace. So what I remember about MySpace, I think this is the first situation where, like, rankings of friends kind of came evolved, because in my sense, there's like a top eight. Or top six.
Yeah,
so you put like your top friends on your profile and you pin them there. So like if you weren't on like some of your friends top six, you're like, why am I on your top six?
That's so yeah,
I know, it's really bad.
That's how it started to go downhill,
I think. So part of it,
yeah, because you start getting like exclusive and selective, and it's like a popularity club online rather than in person.
Yeah, one thing I did like about MySpace is that you're able to share music. When people go to your page, a song would play that you liked.
Yeah. Mm.
And I remember two songs that I played. One of them was like so dirty, and I'm like, why did I play that? Because back in the day, MySpace was like big on Tila Tequila and like those type of girls. So there was this singer, I think her name was like Kyla Yu. She was also like in the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. She had this like song called like Sugar Coated Candy. Now that I mentioned her song was like very sexual. I don't know why I had that on my page in high school.
Oh.
But then another song I had was like Sean Kingston, Take You There.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
can you sing it for us, Mel? I don't remember.
Nope. I think I need to sing it. I think you could Google it on YouTube. But that was something I remember having for MySpace. But it's just crazy to look back on these different social platforms we use in like middle school, high school, college.
Yeah.
And now like the ones that we use mostly today is like Facebook.
Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Yelp.
Yeah.
These are all taking over our lives.
I remember joining Facebook for the first time, and it's crazy to think that it's still here. Like, I think we were searching earlier, like, I joined Facebook in 2007.
I joined in probably 2004?
Yeah, and I joined in 2006. So right when college started for me.
Mine was right when college started.
Which makes sense, because then when you're in high school, it's like all your friends are close to you, and then once you get to college, it's like, oh, like, do you have something for me to, like, follow you on?
That's nuts that you guys are talking about college, because Facebook for me was high school.
Baby.
Oh,
sorry, wait,
sorry, sorry. Sorry. Thing. Oh, yeah, 2006, never mind. I was in college. Wow, yeah. I'm old.
I was, 06, 07 is when I was starting sophomore year of high school.
Damn.
And I know, it's kind of crazy that I say it out loud. But now it's weird, because, like, now on my Facebook, there are people I knew in high school from, like, 10 years ago. I don't talk to anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of weird that, like, there's so many, there's a large chunk of them from that period of my time.
Yeah. I still, whenever someone, like, has a baby or get married, because your high school friends are mainly doing that now, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're sitting next to me in math class.
Everyone in high school is like, yeah, everyone has kids now.
Yeah.
Or number two. I'm so like, I'm on number zero.
You're like negative one.
Right? Okay, so as we progress from this different social media platforms, the very prevalent one that we use today is Instagram. I think Instagram has taken so many different forms from when we first started it. When I started Instagram, it was just like sharing photos and having your friends add you, and that was it. Now there's like paid advertisement, there's Instagram stories, there's all these different functions of it, right?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Instagram?
What's interesting is that even back with like Facebook, right, when we were going back to look at when we first posted, we were able to see some of our posts, and it was like, we posted some of the like,
stupidest things.
It was just like, I posted on my friend Christine's wall and just said, Christine just farted. And it's like, you don't, like, I don't know, like that kind of stuff. And like, Mel, you found some stuff from you too, where it's like, I'm hungry. Or like,
I literally, like, I think Facebook back then was like a Twitter update, like your status.
It was like a status update, right?
Yeah. And I think we were talking about how, like, everyone becomes their own personal brand, mm-hmm. and that the gray line sways between, are you marketing to the public versus like you kind of being an individual profile where you're like expressing yourself.
Right. Yeah. Are you being genuine, or are you mm-hmm. trying to like get something out of mm-hmm. your post?
Mm-hmm. My preference in using Instagram is still as a way to, like, because I like love like visual imagery, mm-hmm. and that's like the stuff that I want to share. Even though I'm like, I know that, you know, on Instagram people like to see your face and all that kind of stuff. Like, I just want to post like
a can of sardines.
A can of sardines, or like this beautiful view. I just want to share with people. And there's the component of also the fact that you can, like, you add a description, right? So it's mm-hmm. like you share an image, but then you also share your interpretation of that image.
Yeah. One thing I do, it's like a good and bad thing with Instagram, like, you get to curate your own content that's on your Instagram page. Mm, yeah. So I remember even like when we first started, like, it was fun to use, like, play with Valencia or like the different type of package filters they had for Instagram. Yeah. Like nowadays, I feel like everyone uses like so many different other editing softwares for their photos. But back then I was like, oh wow, I could like make a photo prettier with just these few filters.
Yeah.
So in a sense, you're your own like curator. So I can see why it's kind of fun in that sense.
Yeah.
I do think nowadays it feels like your Instagram page is your brand.
Yeah.
Who you are, who you represent and stuff. Like even with ABG, it's kind of like a branding marketing page.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's like a free way to get your voice out there too, mm-hmm, and on a platform that a lot of people use.
Yeah.
So maybe let's talk about some like pros of social media.
Yeah.
I think one big pro is that you can get your voice out there. Like, I used to be, I don't know why, but before I moved to LA brought this out of me. Before I moved to LA, like, I had my own personal private Instagram where I would just post like photos for myself. It's called 18 Puppies. Don't follow me. It's a private account. I'm not gonna follow you back. But like, but I used to do that for myself. And then when I got here, I was like, okay, I'll just start doing this. I like it as a photo diary too, mm-hmm, right? Like sometimes you take a lot of photos on your phone, but then it just gets so clustered in there that you don't really know what you're taking. And it's like too much to look back on. But then when you're actually selecting a photo, like one photo that encompasses your whole experience, you can go back and be like, oh yeah, that was a good moment. Mm-hmm. And it's literally like your own personal diary online.
That is a component that I really enjoy about it. It's a visual diary or visual journal too.
Right. And to what you said, Mel, it's like you're literally curating something, even though you're not like painting something or whatever it is, or you're like a faux photographer. It's like, it's still a story that is seen through your own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. That's a good thing about.
Yeah. That's why I actually am really happy with the Instagram stories, because like sometimes when I'm feeling down, I go back to like find the really funny videos that from like a trip or like something a friend said that cracked me out. Like that is nice to reference back to bring your mood up. I think another thing I do like about Instagram is like it is so global. Like I'm friends with like my cousins from Taiwan. It's just nice to be in touch with them even though we're not physically close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a good way to like keep in contact with your family. My mom has Instagram now because she knows my brother and I are always on it.
Mm-hmm.
It might be sometimes I'm just like, ugh, mom, you're like follow me on everything.
Awkward.
But it's nice because I know that this is her way of like kind of like keeping not tabs on us, but like it's her seeing what we're doing every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good aspect of Instagram.
Yeah. And I think also just for inspiration, like there's using it for visual inspiration for people who like love imagery or stuff, but also being able to have that access to people that you admire, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and not necessarily in the surface ways like, oh, I want those abs or like, you know, whatever. But like, if it's like this person is like a businesswoman and she's a mom and she's like, and I want to be able to on a daily basis be reminded that that's possible and that's something that I want to aspire to do, right?
And I think a lot more people are now so much more open about just like mental health and what they're going through. Like there's this one person from Boston, Extra Petite, Jane Wang. Mm-hmm. She used to work at Deloitte, actually. So she used to work at the Big Four. But now I think she's a full-time mommy and full-time fashion blogger. Mm-hmm. But she was very open about talking about her like in vitro and like going through that whole process. And I think I'm seeing a lot more people do that now, which I think is really cool. Like if I were a mom and I was struggling through postpartum or whatever it might be, seeing other moms talk openly about that would make me feel very much okay with what I was going through too.
It's a good way to connect with people who are going through struggles that if you guys didn't have social media, you would feel very alone and isolated, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a good way to share different stories. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think speaking of mental health and I guess going to the cons of Instagram or social media is like, oddly enough, I do think social media triggers some of the negativity and like mental health issues on like a larger scale and also on a day-to-day scale, right? So speaking like to myself, there's moments where feel like I'm sometimes too connected to social media and I literally cannot.
You have a hard time turning off.
I have a hard time turning off and my anxiety level is off the charts. And that is also work related in general because I'm always anxious from work. When you're on, you're constantly seeing people do all these things. You're so stimulated. You're like, I can't turn off. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we tend to do when we look at Instagram is I think you guys all agree that we tend to be like, I wish I could live their life or something. Or like, we're always putting our best face forward when that's not the reality of things.
Yeah.
And I think even though we know that, when we see it, we don't think that. We don't think about, oh, this is just like a third of what she's actually going through.
Mm. I remember I messaged like one person that I follow a lot and a lot of her content is basically just like, oh, look at what I'm wearing today. Oh, look what's on my face. Like, oh, like, yeah, you know? Yeah. But like, I think I messaged her once and I was like, I'm so curious, like, what is your life like?
Yeah.
And she's like, it's actually not as great as it looks. She was very honest through DM about it. Because she's like, whenever I go to a place, I literally spend all my time trying to get the perfect photo. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if you're in a beautiful place and all you're doing is trying to get a photo?
Yeah, you're so distracted. You're not able to experience it. Exactly. You're just trying to document it.
Right. And so even when we were trying to like vlog in Asia, right? Like that takes a lot of mental space. To just like look for the place and it's just like I think you can look at it and be like they're living their best life, but behind all of that there's just, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of unhappy people.
Mm-hmm. And I think I know who you're talking about, Helen. Yeah. We talked about this. And she actually recently put out, I think, a video to show what it's like to be an influencer with a brand partnership. Mm-hmm. So, like, there was some group that sent her to an event and she vlogs like the process of like shooting stuff and like having to put out stories. And so I do think there's like a trend of a lot of these influencers who are trying to show a little bit more of the not negative but more difficult and challenging aspects.
Right.
So that I think that's a positive thing for people. And then maybe it's like being cognizant of like the people that you follow to be selective and follow the people that are showing content that's a little bit more real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it's like all of a sudden there's so many like influencers. At the same time, though, this person that we follow does, I would say, influence me in a way where I'm like, you're using that product and it looks like it works on your skin. So maybe that would work for me, too, because you're Asian, you're like somewhat of the same like athletic kind of build. And so I'm like, oh, I can relate to you. I would want to buy things that you're buying, too. But then at the same time, it's like, are you just a walking advertisement?
Yeah.
It's so hard. You get so phased by what's real and what's not.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why when it comes to certain influencers, there's only a very few that I really actually admire. And I think it's because even though they looked somewhat perfect, they're not afraid to be like, this is my other side of my life and I'll show it to you.
Yeah.
Like, you guys know I'm a big fan of Jen Im. Mm-hmm. I think she's gorgeous, but she's very honest in her content about like, I go to therapy, I struggle with my weight. And like, there's... On her Insta story, she's like very derpy sometimes, but she also is not afraid to show her face and her skin without any makeup and being really real and genuine. And I feel like she's not putting up a front. Mm-hmm. And I think when you see these other influencers, they're always, look at me at this event. Look at me at this fashion thing. Look at me doing this. And you're always like looking your best. Mm-hmm. It feels kind of fake sometimes. I'm like, well, why don't you post you looking in your pajamas like or something or on your Insta stories? I think people are longing for the genuine and like the real side of someone. Mm-hmm. And I understand that like it's difficult because... Even for us, I know that we sometimes are on ABG or we're doing Instagram stories here and there. We want to share as much as we can, but there are moments where like we're not posting today, we're not sharing because we want to just literally have time to ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes it's a struggle for me. Like I feel like my Instagram is curated to like live your best life kind of a thing, right? Yeah. And then I know friends from home are like, oh, you changed. Because that's all they see from you, right? Yeah. But, like, you ladies see me during the rest of the week when I'm just, like, a tired mess of a person. And that photo is literally, like, once a week of one happy moment of the whole week. So the rest of the week is not like that. And sometimes I just want to post me, like, drooling on my papers or something like that. But, like, who wants to see that? I don't know. But I think so you question yourself.
Yeah. IG stories kind of provides you an ability to do that, right? Yes. And I feel like you'll show more of the, like, behind-the-scenes aspect of that. Yeah.
Right.
Which I like. I like that stuff, too.
In hindsight now, it's like, it's a good way to reach people. It really is. Mm-hmm. Like, even on my one pull-up account, even though I haven't posted on it for, like, 2 months now, someone messaged me on my personal account and said, hey, I don't think you check your one pull-up anymore, but just to let you know, like, you influenced me to work on a pull-up, and I can actually do one now. And I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, shit, I can't do one yet, but, like,
but yeah, you're able to impact someone else to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think people have different perspectives of social media, and people are going to judge you for whatever you put out there. But that's also the risk that you're doing, right? By extending a part of yourself that's a little bit more vulnerable sometimes.
I think it's just if everyone can just focus on doing what's best for them, you know, like, don't worry about other people, worry about yourself. So, like, go through the people that you follow. And if there are people that you feel like you feel good after you see their post, or they're like, when you're scrolling through your feed, if you see a post, does it make you feel good or does it make you feel bad? If it makes you feel bad, unfollow.
Yeah.
Right.
What's great about Instagram now is, like, if we have friends that we follow, we're like, I don't really feel the best about some people. There's, like, the awkwardness, like, unfollowing. But Instagram has a feature now where you can mute people's, like, posts and stories. So, like, I'm still cool with you. Like, the formality of, like, it's so weird, like, these social formalities. But I do think Instagram is building more ways for you to feel, like, okay, less awkward.
Yeah.
To deal,
like,
with,
so you can still be connected with them, but you don't have to, they don't affect your feed. You don't have to see their stuff all the time.
Yeah. In a sense, that also shows how addicted we are to that and to the to our phones. Because I don't know if you guys can relate, but there was definitely this one time where I think, when I first went to LA, I was in between jobs. I was in a very kind of low point in my life, very insecure about who I was, what I'm doing with my life. I saw, like, some of my peers, like, kind of coming up in work scene, and I see them all on social media, and whenever I saw their post, I felt like shit. I was like, oh my god, they're doing something that I wanted to be doing. Why am I not there? Why can't I work for them too? Blah blah blah. And it was to a point where, like, I literally had to, like, mute everyone that was related to that person on Instagram, Twitter, everything. So I couldn't see what she was doing.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes it's, like, a good and bad thing. You're able to see that this is affecting you and take action to prevent you from feeling a certain way. But also show that, like, social media does take a big part of your life, and it can affect you in some way.
What's funny is that, like, knowing the other side of, like, that person's story, right? Like, she wasn't happy doing what you admired or wanted
to do.
Which is kind of crazy, because, like, on her side, even though she didn't post it, it's, like, not a good story.
So it's also proof that, like, people aren't always showing the bad things in life.
Right,
so
Yeah.
I think I learned a lot from that situation. I guess when I look at social media now, it's kind of like, just look at it with a grain of salt and know that they're going through other things. I mean, I'm not going to lie, there are moments of judgment, and those are times where I check myself to be like, oh, are you being judgy on something you see, whatever.
But it's also to your story of example, like, if, you know how people get very, like, touchy, why did that person, like, unfollow me or whatever? But realize that maybe it has nothing to do with you. Maybe that person is going through a challenging point in their life, and there's something you're sharing that's triggering them. They're not, that they, you know, dislike you or something. But I definitely relate too. I think that when I was going through career transitions, this is probably before IG became bigger, so, like, LinkedIn is a great resource. I've used it a lot when I've changed jobs.
LinkedIn, yeah.
LinkedIn is awesome.
I like the newsfeed. Newsfeed is actually very
useful. And if you're trying to switch into different careers, it's an amazing research tool to see people's profiles, to see what they've done to get there, so that you can understand patterns. But it can also be really destructive if you start getting into, like, the mindset of just, like, comparing and comparing and, like, reading and, like, starting to, like, oh my god, they're here already, and, like, how can I ever get there, or, like, oh my god, how'd they get that job? And so there's definitely kind of, like, a double-edged sword.
I mean, a lot, there's a lot of comparisons going on, even for, like, the Gen Zers. Can you imagine going through high school or college with social media?
Oh my gosh, it's, I can't.
I can't either.
There's so much pressure, and I feel like,
and high school and college is already so awkward, or like high school especially, when you're, like, going through your acne phase and going through, like, trying to figure out who you are, and you have to, like, present your best self as if you're fully confident. I can't even imagine.
I don't know if this is like recent, but I think I was reading an article. Someone's telling me that it's kind of sad and dangerous how the Gen Z is going through this. Like, they grew up in this digital age because cyberbullying is a thing. And on Instagram, there's like, I remember they're saying like some people, like the way they bully is by purposely not liking someone's photo and telling their friends don't like this. And how that could be used as a tool. It makes me really sad.
Gen Zers are definitely a generation that like lives on likes and feeling that.
Like validation.
Validation through a freaking double tap. I mean, we are too, but you know, like I think especially Gen Zers. It makes me sad. It makes me scared for my kids.
That was the first thing that I've been thinking about. It's just like, damn, how am I going to raise children?
Right. Because like, you can't control what they control.
Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, don't give them phones. Well, I don't know. They can't like really survive nowadays. Yeah, right. And even when you go to schools now, they need like laptops and iPads and stuff. So it's like,
I think it should be, I think as women raising other potential kids or other daughters, it's just to kind of instill the sense of like a lot of self-love and confidence that they don't need validation through other things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like.
I agree. I think it comes down to making sure that they feel good about themselves. But it's hard because it's like we all know that part of growing up is going through periods where you don't. Mm-hmm. And so how do you kind of protect them? Is it worse if your kid is being bullied, or what if they were the one doing the bullying?
Oh.
Like, which one is worse?
I don't know, man.
Oh, I don't want to have kids now.
I don't want to think about that because I ideally would raise a child that doesn't fall into either of the brackets. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I would never. At the same
time, you want them to be like on the pulse of what is going on that's like modern day.
Right. Yeah.
You don't want to like deprive them and stick them in a room.
But at the same time,
live in the dark.
Yeah. But I do think there is a balance. I would want my child to be able to use a phone and be able to use social media. But you don't have to be a bully, but you don't have to be someone who's so like being bullied. There is a middle ground for that where it's like you teach them enough confidence to love themselves and also be aware that how to treat people right. But I don't know yet because I'm not a mom, but
yeah, I know, right?
I'm like praying that like, you know, when that day comes,
let's wait for season 20 and we talk about what our kids are going through.
I know.
You know what, one thing that I really am surprised by, Yelp. Some Yelpers are so terrible. And they put their face up there, too. So it's kind of surprising what they say. So my boyfriend opened up a cafe. And then there was one person who said something like, oh, the inside of your restaurant should be more chic. Like, there should be more, like, open, like, pipes or, like, more exposed. Not open pipes, but exposed pipes, exposed brick or something like that. Like, I could have designed this better. And then, like, one star. And it's like, girl? Like, what the F? Do you even try the food? Do you even try the drinks? But I'll be like, oh, but the drink was really good.
And then you one star?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. I just don't. It's so savage on Yelp.
That's hard because I think Yelp is good because I feel like you get actually people's like honest feedback most of the time. But then you get those people who are like, you think you're a freaking pro.
It's people are so entitled. You're a critic.
Well, like, I mean, I guess it's kind of hard because the premise of the platform is that you're critiquing things.
Right.
You're giving your review on stuff.
Yeah.
But then it's like, as the person using that as a reference, then hopefully you're actually reading the content. You're not just looking at the star that they give, right?
But then even the content sometimes, it's just like, oh, I woke up this morning and I was like really tired and it like impacted the star that I'm going to give.
Yeah. But then so hopefully you read that and you realize like, oh, then their review is not really valid, or like I would probably not really
legitimately. Right.
I feel like I'm a little biased because I know your boyfriend. I know the work they put in to do this cafe. Okay, like the pipes, whenever I'm like, do you know how much money it costs to do all those things?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to pay for it? They're putting their cost or their money into like quality of the food and the drink.
Right.
Which I think when you're running a cafe or a food related business, that's where your party is.
Yeah. Definitely that world of Yelpers. It's like so much entitlement, so much feeling like they are the food critic, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a platform. It is a voice for the people. It's good for restaurant businesses to get people there also. So can't complain. At the same time, it's just like, wow, people are just, woof.
I know. I mean, it is the age of social media. That's what it
is. Yeah. In general, it's like it's easier to say things when you don't have to do it in person, right? Like you have the safety behind a screen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another con I have to say before we move over to other topics is that the con with social media, the fact that everyone posts things on social media now. I have some friends who have really a severe case of FOMO.
Oh,
like, why wasn't I invited? Why didn't they ask me out? And, like, things like that. And I feel like that could be really detrimental.
We've had some friends that have, like, broken friendships because they weren't invited to something.
You know what I mean? I think it kind of fucks with your mind like
that. It does. Because then you wonder, your mind just runs wild. It's like, what did I do? Was it this event where I did something, like, that I shouldn't have done? Should I behave differently? I remember when I was in Spain and I saw you guys hanging out. So FOMO. Like, pretty sure I was semi-depressed when I was over there because it was just like, didn't have friends, all my friends were going out. It's just, such a FOMO feeling.
And I feel you.
Yeah.
So I think with that said, social media is going to be in our lives regardless.
Right.
Because the digital age is growing. And there are pros with the cons. So how do we deal with social media now? Like, what are ways that we can kind of cope with it, or like find ways to live with it in a healthy way?
Yeah. I think first and foremost, just being understanding how much your feed affects you. First of all, it's like the ideal situation is that you could limit the amount of time that you're mm-hmm. on platforms, right? But if that doesn't necessarily work and you're still going to be on it a certain number of hours a day or whatever, that control your feed. Like, be very deliberate about the people that you follow. Don't be afraid to unfollow or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or now that they have all these features where you can still be connected to them, yeah. they don't affect your feed.
I think mute things that you don't want to see, whatever. Even stories, you got to curate your content for what you want to see and feel good about. And so I've muted people for sure. I actually am more happier with Instagram. One thing I do think is really healthy is take breaks. I think there was one time I like deleted Facebook for a good week, or Facebook Messenger, and it felt so good to have one less thing to worry about for the week. Another thing I do is, I think on the iPhone we have this thing where, I don't know what it's called, but it turns off all your apps at a certain time.
Oh yeah, you can like lock yourself out.
Yeah. So it for me, that's so at 11 o'clock, it warns you, you have 5 minutes left of usage time.
Really?
Yeah, and at 11 o'clock, it turns everything off for me. So I have to like press like another button just to get into my apps.
Oh.
And it kind of like, then I can't
makes you like double
phone.
Check, gives you another check of like, do you really want to do this?
Yeah. Exactly. And it's nice because then it kind of shows you how much, your usage time for this week has been 20 minutes above average or whatever. So that's a good way to like,
I use that too. On Instagram, I use that. Like, if you're above a certain time, it'll give you a warning.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll be like, oh shit, for real?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
One more tip I do want to give is that I turn off all my push notifications. So in Facebook, everything on my phone, I don't get notifications unless I click into the app. Because I don't want to know when someone likes my post. I don't want to know when someone comments. If I do, I'll just go into the app and check.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get like notifications.
I need to do a better
like,
job of that. I need to go through and do a deep cleaning of my notification settings.
Because for me, it's like, it feels like someone's going, hey. Yeah, I feel a little more anxious. I'm just like, I could just check when I want to, when I go to the restroom, versus like every 5 seconds or every hour I get something.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to do what works for you. I think overall with like social media, it's so easy to get like sucked into it. Even in like, when you feel like you want to grow your following, or even with like ABG, it's like we feel like it's necessary to keep posting things to stay relevant, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like that's when it starts becoming less about fun and passion and more about like work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it starts getting kind of lame.
I feel you. Now that I mentioned like in my past job, because I actually work in social media.
Yeah.
So for me, turning off is difficult.
Yeah.
Mm. But my last job, I had to post every single day, twice a day. And on Instagram stories every single day, on the weekends, whatever. When I'm traveling, I had to do it.
Sounds tiring.
Yeah. And then I would post on ABG too, just because like we have to post and stuff. So I think finding ways to turn off, and even just like being upfront, like, hey, I need a social media mental break.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes just being like honest, if that's your job, you get to be honest with yourself and your boss and your team. Can I get a break? Like, don't talk to, like, I'm going to like literally be offline and unplug.
How crazy is it that we're talking about this?
I know.
For so long. This has literally taken over our world.
Social?
Like, yeah, it has. It's not just a place for us to just have fun anymore. It's a place for everything to happen.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All video content, advertising, like, everything is on your phone, and it's so accessible. It could be so detrimental, but also very influential.
Yeah. Yes. So that's the thing. It's like, how do we leverage it for the positive and minimize the negative?
All right, as we wrap up this episode, I think the biggest thing to know with this topic is to really know your limit with social media. Know what works for you and take breaks here and there, you know. Hey, maybe like don't be on social media for a week. I think it really will help you like set balance in your life and kind of set your mental space in a healthy place and kind of restart again.
Yeah. So take breaks, and then when you are on it, to be very deliberate, right? Mm-hmm. And not be afraid to like unfollow things.
Kind of be intentional with what you want to see.
And if you guys have any tips for how you manage, you know, being in this like super connected world now with social media, you can write us at asianbossgirl@gmail.com.
Go on social.
Yeah, I know, right?
In the irony of, leave us a comment or a post. You know, go on other social like iTunes and leave us a rating. And oh God, we're pushing this. We're pushing this. We're perpetuating.
It's okay, guys. You don't have to leave a comment on this one because you don't want to push even
further. Don't
leave
a comment on this one. Just like cleanse yourself afterwards.
Yeah, it's totally fine. First time we're saying, don't leave a comment.
Yeah.
Take a break. No, but honestly, actually, now that we're saying it out loud, take a break.
Yeah.
Don't go on.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. I feel like this was more of a rant than anything. Yeah. At the same time, it's literally so taken over our lives that it's become a topic. It's become a thing. And it's a very important thing. These, like, internal struggles, too, that not a lot of people like to talk about because it's like, oh, it's just social media. But it is very impactful in our lives. So be aware. Be woke. And stay connected.
But not too connected.
Disconnect sometimes, please. Yeah.
All right. We'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Bye.